Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Atlanta, what's going on? It is Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying, Hey, man. How about these Atlanta Braves? Mike, when we think we're out of it, we're not. When we think they're not going to score runs, they do. When we think they're not going to pitch well, they do. This has been part of the problem, but last night, an explosion of runs, and Mike, Austin Riley comes alive. He was the catalyst last night. But I'm sitting there and I'm going, this is why we cannot sell. We need to be buyers here in just a few days. Guys, right. Friday's the MLB trade deadline. And, Mike, I don't know about you, but I'm saying to myself, we have some pieces to build on.
Right. I mean, let's go get a couple arms for the bullpen. How about that? All right? I mean, as we said, you know, I know that you and I, the initial Dukes and Bell position on this was let's just hold on to what we got. And we can do that. There's a couple of prospects. Like when we got Jock Peterson for, was it Bryce Ball? Who do we trade? I don't even know. So again, you guys, if you have like the working knowledge of the Rome Braves, God bless you. But I mean, there'll be some guys out there that would be on the move. I'd like to see it. Now, the first thing first, Carl, 500 has been our total. Let's be honest. It has been beyond an obstacle. It has been insurmountable in the last 2 months. And once again, the Braves find themselves one game under 500, but they've already taken 2 out of 3 for the Mets. Opportunity to take 4 out of 5, and I think that would certainly, if we had told you at the All-Star break we did that, you guys would want the Braves, to your point, to do something.
Yeah, and I do think they're going to do something. I don't think it's going to be major. I threw out names like Craig Kimbrell. There are so many other teams and front runners that are in the market for a guy like Kimbrell. And to be honest with you, you know, as far as closer is concerned, he's had his ups and downs, but at the end of the day, I think the back end of our bullpen is okay. I still want to add some arms because it's the in-between that you don't trust. It's why we're seeing guys like Jesse Chavez and other guys that we didn't think we'd see in the bullpen. But Max Scherzer's not going to be a Brave. Price is too expensive. Starting pitching has been good.
Right.
Chris Bryant, he's probably going to be a Met. We keep thinking that. But there are other teams that are interested in his services, so that's not going to happen. Sterling Marte is a guy that I know John Chuckery's talked a lot about. Here's the deal with him. He has not wanted to be a Marlin. You bring him in here, Mike. Are there any guarantees that he wants to be a Brave long term?
Well, literally, just as we went on the air, the A's pulled the trigger on Starling Marte.
There you go. So he's done. I'm just throwing names out. Trevor Story. We don't need a shortstop. When you start going down the list of guys that are available and who might make sense.
Chris Bryant's the one that makes the most sense because you could put him in the outfield and Austin Riley, obviously, he's on a surge. We'll talk more about Austin Riley's monster night coming up. But I mean, Bryant would be a big, big hit and a big fit, but then you'd have to give him a contract. And that's where, obviously, Liberty Media and Braves fans go, separate, don't they?
Well, you're renting him. I mean,
but I don't want to rent him. I want to keep him.
That's the thing. And I would tell you guys this. If I was the Dodgers and I had their lineup in the rotation, even without Trevor Bauer, and by the way, his suspension has been extended into August, but I would think about this, right? You'd go, okay, we need another bat or whatever. I just don't know if our management feels that way. It's almost like a Band-Aid right now. We're trying to fill the holes, and we can see the future in these guys coming back, but we know it's a ways down the road. But how good can you be when you get some of these guys back? You know, and Travis d'Arnaud, and if you added Chris Bryant to this lineup, I got to tell you something, Mike. I think if you added Bryant to this lineup, that's a playoff lineup. I mean, Freddie, right. Albies, Riley, if he's raking – I know Jock Peterson was out last night, but again, playoff experience, he's had big hits in the playoffs, and you add a Chris Bryant,
right.
You're never going to replace Acuna, but I'd be willing to roll with that.
But here's the deal. The way the Braves probably look at it, okay, we're eating, what, $70 million of Ozuna for nothing, and now you want me to go spend $200 million on Chris Bryant?
Because
that's where it's – I mean, I'm that's a conservative. I don't know what the market is for Chris Bryant, but I know it's going to be a hell of a lot more than what we paid for Ozuna. So we get back to, you know, the dollars and cents of it. I know the Braves are over a million and change. I heard that the other night on the broadcast in attendance. Braves fans are supporting. We're buying the hot dogs. We're hanging out at the Battery. We're paying for those red lot parking, Carl, so let's spend some loot.
Yeah, we're one of the leaders in attendance since we've gotten back to ballparks.
You're telling me a bean counter at Liberty Media can't turn Ozuna into a tax write-off? I have turned to the dark side. I am now with Carl. Put me on the side. Now, again, this is the seesaw. This is the zipping up and down. If we get to 500, I want to burn that tape, but I'm telling you, this team has been so – now, if history has shown us, this is the first time we haven't gone win-loss, win-loss, win-loss. We actually have two wins now in a row since the All-Star break.
All right, guys, it's Dukes and Bell, and the reason why this is a big deal, again, trade deadline could define the season for us here on Friday. And you know, the top names, I just don't think we're going to do that. That doesn't mean we don't go get a reliever. You know, there's a guy out there, Ian Kennedy with the Rangers, very good right-hander. Does he make sense? Well, does his contract make sense? You know, the Dodgers are interested. The Astros are interested. But again, those are front-running teams right now. Those are teams that really feel like, hey, we're just a piece away from the World Series. 404-741-0929. It's our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Find us on social media, man. He is Mike Bell, ATL. And I'm at Put 'Em Up. See Dukes, the radio show. Dukes and Bell, 929. This radio station, 929 The Game. And, of course, follow us on the gram and live on Twitch. We got a lot to dive into today, a lot to get to. We're going to have some guests stop by as well to include Mike. And we're going to talk to our buddy Connor Riley because, you know, this SEC Texas OU thing is just front page news in college football. So we'll talk to him at 4 o'clock. But also today, guys, we're going to get a chance a little bit later on to talk to Bobby Hebert. Now, as camps get underway, we're trying to go around this division and talk to some of the guys that are familiar with the teams in our division. Nobody better than Bobby to talk about the Saints. We'll head to Carolina over the next few days. We'll head to Tampa. Mike, if you were picking it right now, it'd be Tampa 1. Who's 2 in this division?
Well, great question. I think, you know, it could be us. I think it definitely could be us. I know we're going to see if Sam Darnold can get things rolling for the Panthers. And a lot of people are kind of like, Sam Darnold. But, you know, is Matt Rhule and are those guys going to be able to maybe pull some triggers that this guy couldn't get going in New York? I still think we're in that mix. I like us to win 8 games. We don't know it, unless Jameis has really made the complete transformation from turnover machine to poised quarterback.
Mm.
So, I mean, I cannot give you a straight answer who's going to be that number two.
And that's the thing. It's wide open. Like, I don't know if we win this division because, again, you got to go prove that you're better than Tampa and beat them, you know, at least split and beat everybody else. But this thing's wide open as far as the NFC South, and you start talking about where the Falcons are going to be. So we'll talk to Bobby about the Saints and the changes they've made. Also, Nick Green's going to stop by from Bally Sports to talk some Braves with us also in the 4 o'clock hour. So lots in store. Mike Bell, as we get the day rolling, man, it's funny because last night we get off the air, and it seems like this happens a lot. We get off 7 o'clock, something comes down. And last night, Bo sends us a story. Now, I've been saying I don't want to talk about the J word. That's Julio Jones, right? Let's not talk about the J word. But when you see a story like this, you got to talk about the J word.
Julio, the drug lord. Now, I read this story. I saw this right before I went to bed. I saw this last. I also read my horoscope, by the way. New York Post said I should not be shouted down, Carl, on my opinions. I thought that was hysterical for yesterday's show.
That is
funny. But anyway, I told Chris, give me some Breaking Bad. Give me everything else we can find. So there's this partnership involving two groups of folks in a large marijuana growing operation.
No!
And apparently Julio and Roddy allegedly sided with the guys who decided to dissolve the partnership and squat on the property, cultivate the weed, and then abscond with it. So if you believe, that's in the lawsuit. So again, you can sue anybody for anything in this country. Doesn't mean it's true, but it is kind of an eye-opener when you find out that Julio was diversifying his portfolio.
That's one way to put it. I mean, we know he owns the car dealership. He may own more than that now. Who knows? In Alabama, but or at least his name is being, you know, leased. But this story made me laugh, too. It was kind of funny. And again, it wasn't here, guys, obviously. This is in California where they did this. So it's legal what they're attempting to do. But the fact that this is a deal that went wrong, and not only Julio was involved, but Roddy White, they have a great relationship. But it is a funny story, and it made me laugh. We know why now, who? It's a funny story. So, you know, if you get a chance to check it out, Mike, I did not retweet it last night. I just read it and laughed, and I said we'd talk about it today. But we're going to dive deeper into that. By the way, I don't think it has any bearing Okay, if you're going, oh, the Falcons knew, had no bearing on anything that happened.
If Julio was involved with the production of cocoa leaves in Colombia, right, then we'd have a problem. This is something which, again, as we have gotten older, and you and I have talked about this, and like just in the 7 years that you and I have worked together, there's the stigma about marijuana doesn't even exist anymore, only in the minds of cranky older people. And as more and more states are legalizing,
Hold on, Mike, I'm going to take a hit.
Hey, by the way, you know me, man. My dad was a cop, Carl. If somebody had a joint when I was 15, I walked home from Malibu in Long Island to my house. It was like a 12-mile walk. Because, oh, no, weed, get me out of the car. As if somehow someone was going to descend and bust everybody. So now fast forward. Now I'm age 52. I can't get enough of the stuff, Carl. Who's holding? And the CBD oil, by the way, I scoffed at that stuff. It's literally changed my life as far as pain relief. So, yes, who gives a crap? But it's funny as hell that Julio and Ryan, if what they're saying is true, are hooked up in this situation.
It's very, very funny. It's very funny. All right, man, we got plenty to dive into today. Hey, I do want to remind you guys a couple of things that are going on. As camp gets underway, 92.9 The Game will once again be your number one place for all things Falcons training camp. We'll be broadcasting live during the course of camp and giving you the best Falcons coverage from Flowery Branch, interviews, top analysis, right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And for more details, all you need to do is go to the website, 92.9thegame.com. But Thursday, all right, which is tomorrow, our morning show is going to be out there at Flowery Branch. And then on Saturday, Chris Goforth, Harry Douglas are going to be out there. Sunday, the same from 9 to 1. And then Tuesday next week, August 3rd, the morning show will be out there, 4th, 5th, at Flowery Branch. So the 3rd, 4th, and 5th. So go to the website. You can see all the dates. But, again, your number one place for all things Falcons is right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. All right, we're going to come back. We got plenty to dive into. Now, listen, we talked a lot yesterday about Simone Biles, and rightfully so. It was a story that the country and the world was talking about. But it hasn't gone away because now she's taken herself out of the individuals. And everybody's talking about mental health. We will talk about that at some point today as well. We spent a lot of time on it yesterday. A lot of people reacting, responding one way or the other. And you didn't have to agree with us, and that's fine. Just don't call us names. 404-741-0929. It's our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. It's Dukes and Bell. Headlines next. Bell. It's been a busy day in the NFL. Guys reporting yesterday. Some teams hitting the field today. One of the big things that happened today, and we'll let you hear more of this later in the show as we move along, Aaron Rodgers addressed the media today, Mike, and he didn't run from anything. He answered all the questions. He was candid. Some people say he said too much. Some people say he's going to rub some people the wrong way. I loved it. I love the fact that he just put it out there. I mean, here's the deal. What do you have to lose? You had an offseason of turmoil. You have been, in some ways, a distraction, even though there was no season going on, because this is all anybody was talking about, especially in the NFL and as far as Green Bay is concerned and their hopes to get back to a Super Bowl. Now, if it's not your team, it doesn't concern you, but understand that Aaron Rodgers is a mega star in the league. And, you know, when these things happen, it's always news. And so for him, Mike, I think you get what you want. You got your boy Cobb back. You've got some certainty now. Why not just tell the truth?
Right, and you and I have talked about Aaron Rodgers, and you know, I'm like a love-hate relationship, like a lot of fans are with him, because sometimes he comes off as kind of snarky, and in this case, you know, it was kind of radio silence, so when you're not talking, everyone's kind of left to figure out and try to think for you and put it out there, and there was so many different takes on it. But you and I talked about this going back to other quarterbacks. Remember Russell Wilson, when he sounded off and then later said, oh, no, we're fine here. But when you are – It's logical. If you're invested so much, if so much of your salary cap is going to one guy and he is the franchise quarterback, why wouldn't you get or at least take the input from him? Hey, what do you think about this? No, like, I don't know how much quarterbacks would spend time, Carl, looking at the college draft, but I know Peyton Manning would, right? He sure as hell know what was going on. So I'm just saying, if you're Aaron Rodgers and there's a type of receiver and a type of athlete that fits what you do, why wouldn't you at least – and if management is giving you the cold shoulder, then I think when you're Aaron Rodgers – now, I know he's only won one Super Bowl, but he's still one of the top three quarterbacks every year in the league. So why wouldn't you at least listen to the man? And apparently that's what he was looking for.
Yeah, man.
But just kind of got lost in the message the last few months.
I think so. And this is why, again, these media sessions are good. You know, when you have a chance to hear from the guy himself, we always talk about, you know, players don't need the media now. Kind of. I mean, you can put these messages out, but it's one of those things where are you going to answer everybody's question? And this gives people a chance, you know, to ask those questions about Aaron Rodgers. So more on him coming up, but he spoke today at length up there at camp for the Green Bay Packers. We're going to talk about the Falcons camp as well and what's going on. Tomorrow is the first day that they will hit the field. And excited, man. Somebody hit me up and they heard us talking about the Madden ratings, Mike, and they were like, do we have any guys over 90 rating? I was like, I don't know.
And by the way, look, we've all played Madden. You know, I had to get away from it because I found that stuff way too addictive to me. And I was literally like, I was like those guys they used to make fun of on South Park, you know, just sitting on the couch, like in a crater with cheesy poofs on you, Carl, playing those games all day. But I mean, look, I mean, you're really going to get people to get that fired up over it. I mean, by the way, how do we even know? We got a bunch of rookies. We think Kyle Pitts can be a game changer, but we won't know until we see him in action. I mean, he's got a really good rating. I think he was the highest rated player of all the rookies, right?
He is.
81.
Yep.
But, I mean, when you win four, as you and I said yesterday, when you only win four games, nobody thinks you guys got anything down here in Atlanta, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not as caught up in the Madden ratings. I get it, though. It's something to talk about, and guys will play. As I said, I got last year's Madden. Lamar Jackson was on the cover. I mean, I play if I can when I have time, but I'm with you. I mean, as far as the Falcons are concerned, I don't turn Madden on if and when I play and go, man, they ain't got nobody over 90. I ain't playing with them. I don't do that. So, anyways, more on the Falcons coming up. By the way, Aaron Rodgers, just to put it in perspective what Mike was talking about, 48 touchdowns, 5 picks. Think about that. 48 touchdowns, 5 picks. That's ridiculous, guys. That was his stats last year, and he was flawless almost, 70% completion rate. That's why he can do what he's doing, and he's done that for a very long time. Even in a down year, he's better than most quarterbacks in a great year.
Right.
Hey, man, Chris Behind the Glass, Glow Sticks today, hanging out with us as always, and Bo Morgan, executive producing. Coming up, I mentioned we're going to talk to Nick Green about the Braves. He will join us coming up around 4:20 today, so make sure you're here for that because I'm curious to hear what Nick has to say about the trade deadline approaching. And Bobby Hebert will talk to us about the Saints as we go around the division in the 3 o'clock hour. Right now, let's hit some headlines.
Strap in, youngins.
Hitting the headlines with Dukes and Bell.
All right, Mike, what'd you make of Austin Riley last night? Boy, is he heating up?
Let's hope so. He was an unbelievable start to the season, then kind of cooled off before the All-Star break. And if he can get on a heater, you know, and I think you and I talked about this with Dansby, I think, last week. He's always going to strike out probably a little bit more than you like. But when you're throwing out the kind of numbers he had yesterday, man, with a grand slam, another home run, six RBIs, I mean, this is why a lot of folks said be patient, and I was ready to run him out of town at spring training and go trade for Chris Bryant. Remember we had that conversation? But this guy, if he can do it, it just reinforces that argument for let's try to maybe add some pieces here and make a run for it.
432 feet home run, second career grand slam for Austin Riley. And then you talk about, well, remember his rookie season? He came on and he was like, woo, it was gangbusters. So now he has 19 homers. That's a career high for him. Let's hope he gets going because we desperately need his bat. Here is Riley on his night.
You know, it's huge. You know, especially, you know, coming off, you know, I put a lot of, you know, pressure on myself last night with the ground ball and the double play last night. I was really frustrated with myself. And, you know, to come in today and to do what I did, it was huge for me. You know, overall, a team win, you know, this is a huge series. So, you know, it's big for us. Charlie did an outstanding job. His presence on the mound is, you know, you feel it for sure. And good team win.
Of course, he's talking about Charlie Morton, who's been money. Charlie Morton has been great, guys. And for all the things that I was concerned about, thank God none of that played out. Because I was worried about the age and maybe him wearing down. He looks like he's getting stronger, Mike, as the season goes along here. And now all of a sudden, you know, you feel like, okay, we do have a legitimate number one. We thought it was Frieder Soroka maybe when the season started, but this guy brings big-time playoff experience as well. There's no doubt if we're able to get to the playoffs, he's going to be a big reason why here down the stretch.
Right. I know that I was just looking during the commercial break, Carl, at some of the free agents that are still available. There still are some arms, you know, if you want to go address the bullpen. The Chris Bryant thing, and I was just looking at the projections, and it would be $250 million for Chris Bryant, by the way. That's what that contract would look like.
It's not happening.
So that's just Liberty Media ain't going to cut that check, guys. It's just not.
Not paying Freddie. Right on top of
Well, no, you got to pay Freddie, and you're absorbing the hit for Ozuna. I mean, Ozuna, that's still on the books somewhere in Liberty Media's bookkeeping department. So and it just there's no salary cap in baseball. You can do whatever you want. We've talked about it for years, why they don't spend more, what would be a reasonable expectation of more spending for them. But you're right. That's just something they're never going to touch. So, and again, I don't want to give up. Why would you want to give up one of your better prospects for that when you have no one? It's like what happened with Teixeira a couple years ago. You know, they moved a bunch of pieces to get Teixeira. He just turned around and split, you know, after that. So nothing gained.
Yeah, the thing with Chris Bryant, it's not that he doesn't fit, that it wouldn't work here. This is his chance to get paid. He's been waiting patiently. So finally he's gotten to that point. He's not taking less. This is the first. It should have been. It should happen 2 or 3 years ago, to be honest with you. But the fact of what had played out in Chicago and now where he is. But this is his chance to get paid. He's not going to take less. And so that's just. I think that's a pipe dream, and that's why I had those other teams, the front runners, Mike, involved with Chris Bryant, like the Rays, the Phillies. There's some other teams that I think are interested that make sense for him. Hey, it's Dukes and Bell. We're talking about what's going on in the world of sports. It's our headline segment, guys. Let's hear from Eric Harris about the Falcons, because the defense, he feels like, is off to a pretty good start.
I think we took big strides in OTAs, you know, with the restrictions, obviously, and the people that were here. You know, I think we took big strides, and young guys are willing to listen to the older guys. Credit to the defensive staff. They presented the installs very well. Dean Pease, his defense speaks for itself, you know. It's multiple, but it's very simplistic and difficult for the opponents.
Headlines brought to you by ATL Live Well. That is Eric Harris, by the way. Low testosterone doesn't have to keep you down. They can help you guys. Call ATL Live Well today. Don't just live, live well. While we're talking football, let's hear from Aaron Rodgers. He was simply asked, what was all this about over the last few months?
I think, you know, there was a lot of things that transpired. This wasn't, you know, a draft day thing, you know. This was started with a conversation in February at the season ended. And I just expressed, you know, my desire to be more involved in conversations that directly affected my job. Also, I wanted to help the organization maybe learn from them some of the mistakes in the past, in my opinion, about the way that some of the outgoing veterans were treated. And just the fact that we didn't retain a number of players that I felt like were core players to our foundation, our locker room, high character guys. I'm talking about Charles Woodson, Jordy Nelson, Julius Peppers, Clay Matthews, Randall Cobb, James Jones.
Yeah, I mean, but see, I get where he's coming from, but let's be honest. Clay Matthews had nothing left in the tank the last couple of years outside Green Bay. You know, and Jordy Nelson either. Jordy Nelson had, like, what, 1 year with the Raiders, right? I mean, of any substance?
Yeah, but this is why quarterbacks don't make player personnel decisions.
Right.
So,
no, you know, you get a bunch of Packer fans going, you betcha, Aaron, we love Jordy. But, I mean, he had nothing left at the end.
Yeah. So I understand.
That's an overreach right there, isn't it, brother?
Yeah, but you know what? Again, what he's saying is I want to be heard. He's laying out the names and giving you examples. That's water under the bridge. What he's saying is I want to be heard. I need to be heard. Listen to me. Can I have some input into some of this? It doesn't mean that you're not going to make the same decision that you already made.
Right.
But to not hear me at all, to not even contact me, to not even let me know where we're going, but yet you've invested all this in me? That's all he's saying. So he's laying out names. Hey, here's some examples of what I'm talking about.
I was like, oh, those are, I was like, oh, don't say that guy. Oh, don't say that guy. But I know what you mean. Just be in the conversation, be in the mix. But you're right, though. But it's something Matt Ryan, for all the time he's been here as the face of the franchise, should have some input there. See, I always thought you and I had the great debate, not even about personnel, but who's the kind of offensive coordinator you're bringing in that fits my game. Now, you could argue, well, Matt would not have probably been happy with Shanahan from the jump because Shanahan had him doing things in 15 that he wasn't really comfortable with, 16 to turn to an MVP season. So, you know, the argument is, well, some guy might defer or default to the guy that he's comfortable with as opposed to a guy who's going to push him and get more out of him. But personnel, I think Aaron, you know, it's, well, I get where he's coming from. He just mentioned guys that were washed up and there was no reason to keep them in the organization.
You know what's funny, Mike? And we can use this as an example in our business, and it could be your business. It could be your law firm. It could be your sales team, whatever it is. But if it ain't broke, don't fix it, right? I mean, my point is, if you have a radio station that's running and it's running great and you're going to hire a new guy to come in and run it, and the new guy's like, yeah, we need to change this, 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 and this. Is that the guy you want to bring in? Right. Or you want to bring in a guy who goes, this thing's running really well. We just need to be better in some areas, and I'm able to do that. I think that's, you know, that's what we're talking about. You don't have to change across the board. I would be afraid, and we'll get back to Matt Ryan and the offensive coordinator conversation.
Right.
That to me, that's what I'm saying. You know, we're going to change this, and this. Matt, what do you think we need to do? And that's the conversation that I thought he needed to have with whoever they were going to bring
in. And by the way, I just looked it up. Of all the guys he mentioned, Peppers had the most solid career after Green Bay. He had 16 sacks in two seasons, including 11 when he returned to Carolina at age 37.
We're going to give you a chance to win more tickets. Yeah, we've been giving them away all week. The Rolling Stones, No Filter 2021 North American Tour, guys. We've got a pair of tickets for you coming up between now and 7 o'clock. Make sure you stay tuned to 92.9 The Game. When we come back, the men win, but that's not the story. She pulls out of individuals. It's next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It is Dukes and Bell. Glad to have you listening on a hump day. Getting ready for Falcons to hit the field tomorrow for their first practice. I want to talk about Simone Biles, Mike, for a minute. She pulls out of the individual competition. It was funny when I made my original tweet yesterday and said, talk to me in 2024 Paris. And people were like, she still has individuals. And I said, maybe.
Right.
And then yesterday happened, which was obviously her pulling out of the competition with her team. And then, you know, the gymnastics team getting a silver medal. But now to pull out of individuals, to be considered the greatest gymnast of all time, which, again, she carries that moniker. I saw this today, and I just want to share this. Michael Jordan was talking about today's athletes and social media. And I've always said this. There's a couple of things about Michael Jordan, because people want to use him as the person to, you know, compare this to. Michael Jordan would have never left in a game seven. No, he probably would never have. But Michael Jordan also didn't have the pressures that today's professional athletes, or for that matter, in this situation, the world's greatest gymnast has to deal with. And what I mean by that is there were many things that Michael did we had no idea about, because there was no social media. There weren't camera phones, okay? And I got to tell you, I was just starting in this business in the early, mid-90s. Going to a hotel, an NBA hotel, you saw some stuff. But it was your word against theirs, and nobody had proof.
Right.
Okay, so my point is Michael's quote, when he talked about today's athletes and social media, he said, quote, for someone like myself, I don't know if I could have survived in this Twitter era where you don't have privacy that you'd want, and what seems to be very innocent can always be misinterpreted.
Right.
So I've always said that, you know, there are things that he was great at and on the floor and all that, but privately, the only thing we ever really attacked Michael about was what? The shoes and you know, how much they were making the shoes for overseas. And him not standing up for politics, which you saw on The Last Dance in some cases. But, Mike, I don't know where you're at. And I know I'm not talking about you and I. I'm talking about the people who are listening to us with the Simone Biles thing and whether she let her team down, which is how I feel. It's a team effort. Right. This now pulling out of the individual competition, that's her. That's fine. It affects her and her solely. but millions of people are commenting and judging and telling her what she is and what she isn't. And I'm just saying, there is an element to today's athlete that's a lot, man. It is. And everywhere you look and everywhere you go, you're seeing that, right? And that's your name. And I'm not excusing her by any stretch, guys. I think you still have to be accountable if you're going to be there with the team and then, you know, walk off the way she did. We all understand it's a mental health issue. That's what she said. But, Mike, you know where I'm coming from with this? That pressure of everybody having a damn opinion about you. Most of us, most people don't even know her well enough to have that opinion, but we're making it about her and what she is and what she isn't. And that's what Michael Jordan did not have to deal with.
Hey, and look, we talked about this at length yesterday, and I understand the road to where she got to last week. She's had an unbelievable life experience, and a lot of it has been stuff that a lot of people would really struggle with and carry that forever. You know, and a lot of counseling would maybe not get things right, you know. And I'm not making light of the mental health angle of it. I just think, and when you have this conversation about what is a fair expectation for an athlete in 2021. Mm-hmm. If you bring the mental health aspect into it, you bring emotion into the conversation, and then it clouds any argument. I put this on Twitter earlier today, and it just clouds any logical argument about, okay, look, you have had an incredibly difficult life journey. This is the culmination of all that. It all kind of came to a head here in Tokyo. Except some people can accept that. At the end of the day, though, you couldn't have gone out there and just did the best you could. And soldiered on for your team. And who knows, maybe you still get it done. Maybe you come up short. But I think you get a hell of a lot less heat for getting in the arena than basically quitting. Which is what, look, you can quantify it any way you want.
She quit.
Okay.
She walked off.
I mean, and if me saying that Simone Biles quit makes me a bully, I don't know where you're getting that from. I mean, look, it is a different generation. You started the conversation talking about social media and Michael Jordan. You and I, let's be honest, Coral. People of a certain age, when you heard about like cyberbullying, you're like, "What the hell is that?" You know what I mean?
Sure.
I mean, and again, it's a real thing, and kids kill themselves, and it's just the world. It's a different world we live in, and I do understand that. But for decades, people overcame lots and lots of difficulties. That's why, I mean, I won't even go down the route of Michael Jordan. That's why I mentioned Greg Louganis, a gay man with HIV who hits his head and busts it wide open, is bleeding in a swimming pool. I mean, he didn't quit. He got back. You want to talk about pressure? I mean, Kerry Strug, that's a physical thing. She knew there were risks involved. She went and did the vault, and she won gold. You know, and we talked about, you know, and if you want to take it all the way back to the 30s, we talked about the political atmosphere for Jesse Owens and Jewish members of the U.S. track team. You know, all the things that went down then. So I'll keep it to the Olympics. I won't even go down the road. But I will say this. When you bring the mental health aspect in, whether it's Giannis taking 12 seconds to shoot a free throw or Ben Simmons refusing to put the work in, you know, it's just, to me, the mental health argument can be a cop out for some people. And it's almost like it's a generation of athletes and a generation of fans who can rationalize it. And I cannot agree with that.
Yeah. And Mike,
I'll take it on a case by case basis, but I can't use it as an umbrella that gives guys a pass for not stepping up at the big moment.
I don't disagree with that. I don't. And again, you may completely disagree with those takes and how we feel about that. I agree with Mike on that. There are certain cases where certainly this plays a role. And if Simone Biles is not in the right headspace, I don't want her competing either. I don't want to hurt herself.
I don't want to see anyone picking on Simone Biles. I'm just saying, no matter how you slice it, how you want to rationalize it, you quit in the big moment, in your Super Bowl. Every 4 years, you have your Super Bowl for your sport. There are U.S. championships, there's international competition, but this is the Olympics, and in the biggest moment. And again, Carl, if you want to go through this, and do the best you can. And then if you want to go tell your story, for those who don't know your story, I think by now most people know the story, but if you want to share your story with people, you want to go on Oprah, you want to write a book, you want to write a TV movie about it, there's a million ways you can do this and get a message out there. But I still think quitting, I just can't believe the outpouring of what occurred. No, quitting is not courageous. You talked about, and people, I've got family, people in my family with anxiety that have gotten over. They don't quit. They fight through it. And to me, the idea of fighting through something now is apparently so counterintuitive to a group of people who feel that, oh, no, something's too hard, you just can't do it. And that's not the way the world works.
Yeah, well, it does, but it doesn't work in my world. And I just wasn't raised that way. Now, I'll say this. When people say, you know, well, you have to give her room, she made a decision that was best for her. Let me ask you a question. You ever gotten up for work one day? I don't care what you do. and you know that you just don't feel like going to work. And you probably notice, like, as soon as you roll out of the rack, right, whether it's 5 a.m., whether it's 7, whether it's 9, but you come out of bed and you're like, man, I'm just not feeling it. But you knew that. So what did you do? You called and you said, I can't come in today. What's going on? I just don't feel well. Okay, man, get better. Your head wasn't right. But you knew what? You know what? You knew that. And here's the point I'm getting to with Simone Biles. I know it's been a tough year. And she, along with all these other Olympic athletes, had to put in the extra time because basically this was supposed to happen last year.
Right.
So coronavirus pushed this thing out another year, and you're still training? Dude, I've been training for training. But now you get to a point where you're about to go. You knew. Didn't you? Didn't you know that you weren't feeling what you needed to feel, but you still went? And my point is, all of us can relate to one day in our lives where you got up and went, I don't feel like going today.
Right.
You know? And it's okay. That's fine. But you knew way ahead of time before, okay, you picked up the phone and made the call and went, yeah, I'm not coming in today. Okay. All right, man. Take a day, whatever you need.
Right.
And I just think I think when we now put this out there, I feel like the way she's been expressing herself through this now over there in Tokyo, she knew. Mike, she knew she wasn't feeling right. She knew that this wasn't whatever it was. And I wouldn't have had a problem if she just came out before they went and said, I don't feel right. I'm not going to go. Now, she would have caught hell.
But
she's catching hell anyway.
That's why I just don't understand why you get to the moment only to walk away from the moment. You build it all the way up. And if your heart's not in it, if your head's not right, all the things you talked about. But there's an expectation that is built into being an Olympic athlete. It's very hard. It's a pressure-packed event. It's a pressure cooker. But handling pressure has always been part of elite sports competition, as I said yesterday. But people want to say, no. I mean, now I don't know if this is something about competition trophies. And by the way, I know we got to catch a break. You think away when you're younger. You will think a little bit differently when you're older. Take it from me, because my thinking has gone a long way, Carl. I understand. It's a lot easier to feel, well, that feels bad. I don't want to see that, as opposed to think about something and use logic and talk about it. And when you use the mental health argument, and I'm not saying it's a cop-out, but it becomes an umbrella now, which provides everybody an out. So how do we excel at anything anymore? How do we strive for excellence? How do we push through adversity if we've got a built-in cop-out now?
It's Dukes and Bell. You can comment 404-741-0929. It's our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Find us on social media. We're coming back. NFL Blitz next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.